all the games I used to play in my younger, wilder days. The game of clubs and tees, it never crossed my mind.
But after some... Welcome into the Turn Golf Podcast. I'm Andrew Putters. Got Joe Nicely here. As you can hear, I'm a little under the weather, Joe, so bear with us. Allergies are really firing up here in East Tennessee. 70 degrees during the day, 20 degrees at night. It's just something we got to deal with in God's country. So, but Joe Nicely, fresh off a fantasy. I'm going to booger this up. So, where did you just go? Where did you just get back from, Joe?
Yeah, man. Spent a couple days out in Vegas at the FSGA Winter Conference out there. Got to hook up with our good buddy Spencer Aguiar. At T-Off Sports on Twitter, longtime friend of ours, longtime roto baller colleague. So Spencer went with me out there, and so we got to hook up and spend a couple days with him. It was really fun, man. Really fun. Met a ton of great people, a lot of really talented people, people that I've followed for years, and got to meet, and they're super cool and friendly in real life. And kind of the big takeaway, man, was Spencer and I had people asking us about golf all week long. So really excited about the prospects for fantasy golf to continue to grow, not just DFS and golf betting, which has already kind of exploded over the last couple of years, but also some really interesting stuff with where season-long fantasy golf's going. Excited about that. I think there are a lot of really cool perspective things on the horizon from kind of the season-long fantasy golf stuff that will keep you guys linked in on. But yeah, man, it was a really cool trip. Tiring. I was pretty tired when I got back home to Knoxville, but a great experience, really fun trip, man.
Yeah, so I talked to you earlier today to ask you if you got any sun, and you said you didn't even leave the hotel, so we want to get into that.
A lot of working, man.
Let's talk about the company you're representing out there, rotoballer.com, best place in the world for your daily fantasy needs. Joe, let's talk Rotoballer, what you all are offering for golf. We just came off the West Coast swing, hit it into the Florida swing, major season's right around the corner. What do y'all got offered for premium subscribers?
Got a ton of great content, man. That's something that we hope you'll go check out over at rotoballer.com. You can use our promo code TURN and get a discount on our premium offerings over there. We've got three different price tiers to kind of tailor what you want. So we hope you'll look at those and check that out. We also got a ton of free content. Definitely don't want to forget about that, that we throw out there every week. I think we had three or four free articles that go up today. So I want to encourage you to check those out. And if you want to dive a little deeper into golf as the season kind of really ramps up, we're headed into Florida, as you mentioned, moving closer to the majors. We'd encourage you to use our premium products, which we feel are among the best in the industry. So head over to rotoballer.com, check that out, use our promo code TURN. That'll save you 10% off any order you make, any premium subscription. And that'll take you through the end of the golf season. So hope you'll go over to Roto Baller and check that out today.
Yes, like I said before, rotoballer.com, best place in the world for your daily fantasy needs, whether it's football, basketball, baseball. And we feel like we're the best golf team out there. And it's not even close, in our opinion. So let's dive into last week, Joe, the end of the Florida swing. And I'll just be honest, I was trying to look at the schedule this afternoon. There's not a better 4 week in a row as far as golf courses, possibly fields. It's going to be hard to match what we just witnessed for 4 weeks. I know Pebble, the little pro-am, throws a little something in there maybe, but you still get the Pebble on Sunday finish. West Coast swing. It's just a lot of good golf. We're headed down to Florida. We're not going to see the same field this week as we saw the last couple of weeks. And let's talk real quick about the genesis. We'll just go ahead and get this out of the way. Tiger Woods, didn't see that coming whatsoever. He struggled on that golf course in the past, and man, he played very well. We talked on the phone, like I said earlier today, that the golf course is just good. That's just all there is to it. Riviera Country Club is just good. 18th hole is awesome. There's some risk reward where you can get at some eagles. You can shoot a very high number there, and it's 36 degrees in the morning. We won't even discuss the issue with the tee times and having too many people on the golf course and having to finish rounds every day on delays. But yeah, so let's talk about the Genesis Open first, and then we'll get into this week. Can't go without shouting out my boy here. If you can see it, Cashmere Keith shirt on. Tennessee Chattanooga native, went to high school in Chattanooga, probably the best high school golf team ever formed. Close again, battling out with two studs though, and he hits the ball really, really good. I haven't followed him that closely up until really Pebble this year. I've always known that he hit it good. I didn't know he hit it that good because we got to see a lot of golf shots the last 3 weeks. So Genesis Open, Tiger Woods, the golf course, the tournament, Keith Mitchell. A lot of stories here we can talk about. John Rahm, phenomenal play this weekend, closing it out. Max Homa getting choked up with the crowd there at the end. Just hit on a few of those. Tell me what you think about this past weekend.
Yeah, man. Lots to unpack from Genesis. Always one of our favorite tournaments on the schedule. And we really hate that we couldn't do a show last week. Kind of the way things fell for us. I was getting ready to kind of go out of town, and we had Valentine's Day. AP and I are both married, so anybody listening that's married knows how that goes. But hey, we weren't able to get a show out there for you last week. But a really amazing tournament, man. I think it's fair to start with John Rahm, a dude that's won three times already in 2023 and is playing golf at one of the highest levels we've seen in quite some time. I mean, we saw Scottie Scheffler get off to kind of a similar start last year. But Rahm's doing it, man. He just looks like a force to be reckoned with right now. As we kind of get closer to Augusta and the year's first major, extremely impressive stuff from him. He's just got all the tools, all the shots, no weaknesses in his game. So there's a lot of reason to like John Rahm's prospects for the rest of the year. And it's already been a tremendous season. But Max Homa continues to play well, man. The King of Cali continues doing it out there. The dude just continues to impress every time he tees it up in these monster events. And hopefully he can kind of get things going in the majors. We saw some improvement last year. So hopefully that can continue this year. And then Tiger. I mean, what else can you say? You got any thoughts on Tiger, AP?
Majorly surprised at the way he hit the ball probably on Saturday. I mean, I know that's when he played his best, but, you know, what we saw from him last year was played pretty decent Thursday, played a little worse Friday, played a little worse Saturday, played off on Sunday. We didn't really get that. There's a fine line on this golf course shooting 69 to 73 anyway. So, you know, if you're in that ballpark every day, that's pretty good golf. Faded away on Sunday, yes. Very surprised how he held up. He did say it's the strongest he's been since he's been injured. Still work in progress. And I'm going to say it out loud. The guy can still win. Has to be a perfect situation, but he can't win every event, but he can still win. There's no after seeing that display on Saturday, he can still win.
Yeah.
Because let me just tell you. Say what you want to. The sleeping giant, it'd be like Jack Nicklaus on an 86. If his name's on that leaderboard, it's going to be a lot louder. So
yeah, I think if he can conquer the, it sounds basic, man, but if he can conquer the ability to comfortably walk 72 holes, I think the golf game's still there. I think the biggest battle is, and it looks like there's been progress, is actually getting his body to hold up over the course of four rounds and walking 72 holes on a major championship caliber golf course. So I think if he can get there, there's definitely still some game left. And man, those closing out with those three birdies on Thursday, it was just vintage Tiger stuff. I mean, I was sitting in the MGM sports book and Aria in Las Vegas, and it sounded like the Super Bowl was going on, man. People were going absolutely nuts. So he still moves the needle. He still is the needle. Really cool moment, and it's good to see him playing well. And, you know, I imagine the next time we're seeing him is probably going to be Augusta. We're just not going to see him play that often. I mean, he's kind of put that out there. So, you know, I think it's cool to just enjoy these tournaments where we do get him and kind of take it for what it is and appreciate what he's done for the sport. But it was awesome, man. Riviera, we've kind of beat it to death on this show over the years, but it's one of the unquestioned best tour stops that we see. Another elevated designated event, which it was awesome to see all those guys battling out. We had a couple of great weeks in a row between Riv and Phoenix, and now we're headed to Florida for the Honda, a tournament that kind of used to be in the upper echelon of events, but it's kind of the flip side of that elevated event coin. And you know what happens when these tournaments don't get that designation and they're sandwiched between, you know, these other big time events. Got Bay Hill on the horizon coming off Riv and Phoenix. So, you know, it's just a natural thing that the Honda's kind of fell by the wayside a little bit. And Honda's actually going to be leaving as the sponsor of the tournament after this year. So it's kind of an end of an era. I believe they're one of, if not the longest PGA Tour partner out there. So, you know, there's some big changes coming for this event, but it used to be tremendous. It's a great golf course, PGA National, man. Really tough. Can see some wind, and that's another reason why these guys aren't lining up to play it. Can make you look silly. There's no guarantees on this golf course. So we'll dive into the Honda. It's a really cool event. We got a lot of buddies that love this event that go there every year. So I'm looking forward to it, even though this field is less than great, AP.
Yeah, the Honda name has been on this tournament since 1981, Joe. It's a long time. 1982. Honda Classic 1982 is whenever we took over as a title sponsor, leaving for the first time. Like you said, been around a pretty good while. The tournament was established in 1972. First champion ever, Tom Weisskopf over Jack Nicklaus. Pretty good tournament for the first one ever. This played at the PGA National Resort Spa, the champion course. It's been here since 2007. It's been on a handful, maybe six or seven other golf courses total, but it's been here since 2007. Yeah, 2007 till present day. Par 70, 7125, Bermuda throughout, Tom Fazio design with Jack Nicklaus, has put his pencil in there and changed it around a little bit. But, like you said, we should expect high single digits, low teens, probably more so high single digits, I would imagine. I did see where they're going to have perfect weather this week, 84 to 85 degrees highs every day, 25% chance of rain on Saturday. That's it. Didn't check the wind, but one thing I've noticed already on this golf course, if it's 7,000 yards long, like Joe just said, can make you look stupid from time to time, and the tournament winner is going to be in the single digits. That means, let's be honest, Joe, good ball strikers have a huge advantage here. You look down through here, Sepp Straka, Matt Jones, Sungjae Im, Keith Mitchell, JT, Scott, Henley, Michael Thompson. You're talking about ball strikers, even if you go way back into back in the 90s, you're going to see ball strikers as well. Vijay Singh, Stuart Appleby, Tim Herron. These are all guys that hit the ball really, really well. So definitely at this golf course, that is a huge advantage. I'm sure that will be talked about on every podcast every article you read all the week about ball striking, about keeping the ball out of trouble, hitting fairways, proximity. You're going to hear all these numbers. Is there any numbers within those accuracy numbers that you're going to be concentrating on, Joe?
Yeah, man. You hit on a lot there, and I think all that's accurate. Honestly, if we're kind of speaking frankly, this is a golf course that's just really unpredictable. Even guys that have good track records here, you'll still see a missed cut or two kind of on their Honda resume. That's just the nature of the beast at this golf course. You're looking for guys that can avoid the big blow ups. There's water everywhere, sand everywhere. We're heading from a West Coast swing, a Riviera golf course that has zero water, to a Honda golf course that literally has water everywhere. So you're just looking for guys that can avoid that blow up hole. Sometimes it's unavoidable, but being a great ball striker helps. Certainly good long iron players. Guys are good from 150 plus. Don't see a ton of wedges here. You'll see guys clubbing down off the tee a lot, trying to find fairways. So yeah, man, you hit the nail on the head. I'm looking for ball striking, looking for some guys with some course experience that have been around this tricky track a time or two.
Yeah, so let's get in the slate, Joe. We're going to start 9K and above because 10K only has two players in it. And I would say that they're well-deserved to be in the 10K range over the rest of this field. But let's talk 9K and above. Sungjae, Lowry, Chris Kirk, Billy Ho, Alex Noren, Minwoo Lee, Kuchar. Crazy, Kuchar's 9,300. Blows my mind. Aaron Wise, Denny McCarthy, and Thomas Dietrich, man, he's a solid player. He's going to make some noise, I feel like, in the future sometime. He hits it really good. So, Joe, I mean, we got to be rostering one of the two at the top, right? I mean, I don't know where to go here. I'm just going to let you take over. You're the man that knows this business.
Yeah, it's tough, AP, and it doesn't get any easier as we go down. So, I mean, we just see a lot, you know, due to the weak nature of this event. I think Sungjae is the only top 20 player in the world playing this week. We're just seeing a lot of inflated salaries, man. This is something we run into, most of the time during the swing season. But a couple times a year, we get these events, man, where the pricing's just way out of whack. And that's what we're dealing with this week. So we're going to see some guys with higher price tags than we're used to seeing. You mentioned a $9,300 Matt Kuchar is a pretty good example. And the scary thing is, I mean, a guy like that's probably in play this week a little bit. So it's definitely tricky. Sungjae and Shane Lowry, I'd put those two. They feel head and shoulders above the rest of this field. I think you're wanting to try to get exposure to at least one of those guys this week. If I had to pick one, I'd probably lean Sungjae just because I think there's, you know, a ton of talent there. But Lowry, after kind of a sluggish start, he had a really good year last year. Should have won this event last year. Should have won a couple times on the PGA Tour last year, this being one of them. But kind of faltered down the stretch. Sepp Straka got him. But he's made the cut in all five of his career Honda starts. So I love Shane Lowry this week. And love Sungjae. You got any favorites up here that you're looking at, man?
I'm probably – one of two things would happen with me here. I think I would probably play both and just piece together lineups. Chris Kirk hits it pretty straight, Joe. He's a lot cheaper. I'll be honest. I hate to even say this out loud, but Billy Horschel makes a ton of sense this week, Joe. A ton of sense. Minwoo Lee is one of my favorite players to watch, but not on this golf course.
really strong international player. Doesn't have a ton of experience stateside. And this is a tricky golf course to kind of try to break in on. But we're going to see a lot of these Euro guys playing during the Florida swing coming over. Chris Kirk's in consideration. Looked at him. I just don't know that there's enough of a price difference between Kirk and a Shane Lowry or a Sungjae for me. But he's an interesting play. We've seen him play well recently, and he's played well here. Had a T7 here last year and a T25 a couple of years ago. That's saying something on this golf course. Denny McCarthy, we've seen play well. We mentioned Matt Kuchar, former winner here, literally 20 years ago. Kuchar's trying to get back in that top 50 in the world and get the majors. So he hadn't played here in a while. So it's an opportunity for him to move up in the world rankings. I'm sure that's how he's viewing it. Will be motivated this week. And he's played better golf this year. So you can look at a Kuchar up here. We mentioned Dietrich, who I feel is just a really solid player. I mean, you look at his game log, there aren't a lot of holes there. There aren't a lot of ebbs and flows. Just a lot of solid output coming off of T33 at Riv last week. And that kind of fits nicely with what he's done throughout 2023 in this young season. Just a really rock solid player, fairways and greens guys that makes a ton of cuts. So, you know, he's also a very strong option up here.
Yeah. I think if I'm probably building lineup, especially in the multi-entry stuff, I'm going to be doing like some formation of Kirk, Horschel, Wise, and rotating those guys in. I mean, yeah, Kirk and Horschel and Wise have missed a handful of cuts here. However, they were against way stronger fields than this. And the fields, let's be honest, Joe, were a lot weaker. So,
I mean,
weekend, top 20, top 10, top 25 is pretty reasonable, I think.
There are some ways to get cool. There's some ways to get cool with roster construction this week, AP. I mean, it's one of those weeks where there are no bad strategies. There really are no bad plays. I mean, there's a lot of reason that you could just fade the top of the board, man. I mean, we see this golf course create so much volatility. You know, it's very realistic to think that a chunky percentage of these guys at 9K plus could miss the cut. I mean, realistically. So, you know, there's some variations on lineup builds that you start at less than 9K and don't even go up here. So there's lots of cool things you can do, whether you want to classify it as cool or gross. This is a neat tournament, especially for kind of hardcore DFS junkies. That like to tinker around with lineup construction, but yeah, I think there's a lot of ways you can go here. And the 8Ks are pretty solid. When we start kind of digging in, JT Poston's a guy that took off really hot, let a lot of people down in Phoenix, me included. Didn't play well last week, but he's got a pretty solid track record at this golf course. Adam Svensson's a guy I know a lot of people like when we start talking about pure ball strikers. You know, he's up there near the top of the list when we consider the guys that are in this field. Had a top 10 here last year. Maybe my favorite play up here is Johnny Vegas. You know, he's just a rock solid player, a veteran. He's kind of been around the block. Has only missed one cut in 10 career starts at the Honda. His statistics are great. He's gaining every week tee to green, every start this year. So I really like Johnny Vegas. He's just kind of a pro's pro. You know, not a guy that gets a lot of publicity or a lot of people talk about. But, you know, in this environment, I don't mind going to him up here. Cameron Davis is a guy we know is talented, but he hadn't played well this year. And Zadenhout is always solid on tough golf courses. So, I mean, I think there's some options here if you just want to kind of load up on these 8K guys. Have you got any favorites in this range, man?
Yeah, I would, with what I said earlier, you know, those three guys constructing some sort of lineup, and then feathering in Svensson and Pendrith here, which is not going to give me much money left over with three players gone. I understand that, but let's be honest, once you drop below really 7,700, 7,600, you're looking at a less than 50% make cut rate anyway, Joe, long term. So it really doesn't matter where you start throwing darts at down there, in my opinion. That's just my opinion. I'm trying to roll in, like I said. I'll start over by saying this: Billy Horschel, Chris Kirk, Aaron Wise, then sprinkling in Svensson and Pendrith, and then from there it's going to be dart action from that point on, based on the model I create here later tomorrow. That's just where I'm at. So 8K range, those two guys, that's probably it, Joe. I do like Bizenhut, and I love Cam Davis. He's just he set me on fire last few weeks. And we won't even talk about the 7,900 guy, Patrick Rogers, but once we get down there. But 8K range, that's what I'm thinking, Joe. So does that answer your question? Can't hear you.
Yeah, got you, buddy. It's okay. Tough. I mean, it's tough in every range. You know, I think there are obviously some better options at the top of the board, but It's tough all the way through this week. What about the sevens? I mean, I think there's some guys we know, some players we like that we talk about on the show a lot.
7K range is very interesting to me, yeah. And I'll name about five names here. So Matthias Schwab, love that guy on a golf course. It's very hard. I'm going to love Grayson Sigg, even though he missed a cut here last year. I won't love him as much as I used to, but I'll still love him. I feel like we just got to keep on pounding the table on Russell Knox, especially since we're down here in Florida now. I'll keep on pounding that table till my hammer's dull. Adam Shank seems to play hard courses pretty decent. Not reliable, though. Danny Willett and Webb Simpson. Will they go overlooked this week, Joe? If they go overlooked at all, we got to be hammering them. Because you're getting a pretty good price on this field. So, Justin Sue, Aaron Ray, but I'm not willing to take a chance on those.
Yeah, I mean, I think Danny Willett might gain a little bit of steam because he flashed a bit last week, had a T18 at Riv last week. So I think we might see Danny Willett, you know, catch a little bit of steam. Made the cut here last year. Former Masters winner, so we know he can navigate difficult golf courses. I don't know that, man, people just seem to kind of be done with Webb right now, and it's tough to argue, honestly. Kind of the staples of his game for years have fallen by the wayside on him, made some swing changes, and things just aren't clicking right now. So, you know, it's a certainly an interesting name at this price in this field. But it's just tough for me to pull the trigger on Webb or recommend that people do so. it's kind of a salary scale for me where you just want to gravitate towards talent, and understand that, hey man, this is just one of those events. It's a tricky golf course, embrace the volatility a little bit this week. So with that being said, you know, I'd circle Ben Griffin, a young player we've seen a lot of, good golf from over the last several months, going back to the swing season and kind of the initial tournaments of 2023. Haven't seen him in a couple weeks, but definitely a name I'm circling. He's a Florida, you know, familiar with the Southeast. So he's a guy like Stephen Yeager, kind of a guy we're familiar with from his time in East Tennessee. I think he's a player you can look at. I'm circling Ben on. You know, he's very, very volatile. Had to go back down to the Corn Ferry Tour last year, but he got a win, several top tens, and he's back up and making cuts on the PGA Tour. He's got two top fives in this event, AP, since 2018. So I think we can look at Ben on. It's obviously a golf course that he's comfortable with, but we know going in kind of the gamble that he is. And when we start talking about talent, I mean, if we just want to circle talented guys, not much output lately, but Will Gordon and Davis Riley. I mean, these are guys, you know, especially in Davis Riley's case, that we've seen be priced over 8K in solid PGA Tour events with good fields. So, you know, the talent's there, and we can grab him at 7,400 in a pretty weak field. And we know the talent's there with Will Gordon. He's kind of, after a really good swing season, kind of fell off a little bit to start 2023. But those are two that I'm circling. I also tossed EVR in that bucket. And it probably sounds crazy, but don't sleep on Patty Harrington, former winner in this event. And this is the type of golf course, if you're going to play these vets, man, this is one where they can just go out there and grind, make a bunch of pars, and make the cut, and, you know, maybe knock you out of top 25. So, you know, I know you like to lean vets sometimes, and I'm kind of considering it this week with Patty Harrington. It's not a player I'll have a ton of exposure to, but I think he's interesting. So, you know, I'll mix him in with the young guys, Davis Riley, Ben Gordon, and Ben Griffin.
So what you're saying is this is my week? This should be my week?
Could be vet week.
Over lineup with Kuchar and Webb Simpson.
Could be vet week. This could be the week.
Yeah, I like it. Vet week. Wish we knew what kind of weather or, you know, how the course is going to be responding, because, I mean, 4 under could win this, or 12 under could win. And it's probably the grinders is what I would be kind of circling if I knew the way it was going to be set up. But 7K range is, you'll make or break you for sure this week. Moving on to the 6K range, Joe, there's some names down here. It's, like I said, it's going to be throwing a dart once we get down here. And I want to save a person for the dart play of the week, but I like some, you know, would it surprise you a bit if Jimmy Walker comes out and shoots even par in this tournament, finishes eighth? You know, wouldn't surprise me one bit. But if we're being realistic down here, we got to probably go with some guys that have no experience and just hit and hope. And but at the top, you got, you know, Matt Wallace and Kramer Hickok, Matthias Schwab or Schmidt. Oh, that's Matthias Schmidt. Is that different? I went right over that name. I thought that was Matthias Schwab. I would have got hoodooed if I'd have been making lineups of that. But
yeah, we got two Matthiases this week, so we gotta try kind of tread easy with our Matthiases this week.
Yeah. Looking down through here, we like a Doc Ram. We like guys that we know about, I think. Haintley Biota. I don't know. Didn't Lemur show some signs here about three or four weeks ago, maybe? A great ball striker, terrible putter.
Yeah, I think he popped a little bit there in the swing season. Hadn't had much going. Did have T33 last week at Riv, speaking of David Lingmurth. So, you know, I don't think you're taking anything off the table this man, especially depending on kind of how you want to handle those two guys, Sungjae and Lowry up at the top of the board. Depending on how you want to handle those guys, you may need to dip down sub 7K this week, which when considering what's available, might be okay. It might be a stars and scrubs type of week where you just say, hey, I want to lock in two guys up at the top, and I'll take my chances with the rest, and just kind of go in with eyes wide open, knowing it's that type of event. So, you know, it's certainly an approach you can take. I hadn't worked that out yet exactly kind of how I'll be tackling that. Obviously, we know we lock the two guys at the top, but what's the best, the most optimal way to get those guys in this week? Shout out a player that our buddy Byron, the Model Maniac, contributor over at rotoballer.com, is really been big on lately. That's Aaron Baddeley at 7,000. Another one's Vets that can just go out there and grind pars, got a terrific short game. We've actually seen him playing well this year, so I'm sure Byron will have some written info on Aaron Baddeley over at Roto Baller this week. So I'll shout him out. A couple more for me that stand out. Ben Martin made the cut in his last Honda start. Has played some pretty solid golf since getting back on the PGA Tour. Had a T13 at Pebble his last time out. Had a T32 at the Sony. So, you know, also a couple missed cuts in there. So, you know, by no means perfect, but, you know, I think a guy that's playable at 6,900. And then a guy I want to shout out, AP, I think a guy we're going to be talking about a lot in the coming months and years is Pearson Cootey. This dude is going to be an absolute star. Was great in college. Got a huge offer from Liv that he turned down. And for some reason, with kind of the way the PGA Tour works, he was kind of stuck in purgatory there on the Corn Ferry Tour, but he recently won on the Corn Ferry Tour. He's been killing it over there. And the dude just has tons of game. So Pearson Cootey, there's no course history there. He's a young player, just in his first year as a pro. But if you want to kind of put some talent in your lineup, click Pearson Cootey's name. He will not be at this price for long. I promise you that. So I really like him. He's a guy that I'm going to kind of lean on as a salary saver this week. It's just a risk I'm willing to take in this type of field. So that's my guy sub 7K this week, AP. I think, you know, you're kind of six of one, half dozen of the other with a lot of these other guys down here this week.
Shout out 6K range, lowest man, last man on the board, Marcus Byrd, winner of the APGA event out at Torrey Pines, MTSU guy.
Really cool story, man.
Great, got a lot of game. He is not a joke. He caddied for a guy at the honors when I played a practice round. I played one of his teammates, and he caddied for the guy, and we was talking about it. He was injured at the time, but it's a few years back. And, yeah, he hits a long ways, And, you know, he's just 25, so he gets some things going here. He's got a little bit of money in the bank and trying to make some plans. He's getting a couple starts here on tour. Didn't play great last week, but I think he maybe shot 76, 72 or something, which, I mean, that isn't terrible, right? Something like that, I think. I don't know for sure.
It happens at Riff, man.
Yeah, sure. Tough golf course, let's be honest. So, yeah, Marcus Byrd, MTSU guy there. So, let's talk. Where's your heart at this week, Joe? Because I'm saving a dart for the last thing being said on this show. So, where's your heart at this week on who's going to win, Joe?
You've got that dart. You brought it up a couple times. I like it. The tees. You're keeping people around. I'm excited for the dart.
I haven't made this statement since like probably 2 years. So I'm pretty excited what I'm about to say. So go ahead. Heart play of the week. Who's winning?
Man, I like Shane Lowry. I just feel like the dude, you know, it's a narrative, but it feels like the dude's due. Came really close to wins last year, and you know, he's due for one here. Kind of left one out there last year. You know, hats off to Sepp Straka for taking advantage. But, you know, major championship pedigree, former Open winner, had his best outing in quite a while last week at Genesis. Five starts on this golf course, five made cuts, which is, you know, really saying something on this track. And he gained 7.3 strokes to the green last week, and he likes this golf course. So, Shane Lowry, heart play. What about you, big guy? How are you feeling?
I must be sick and on all kinds of medicine because I almost said Billy Horschel wins this week. In probably really dominant fashion on Sunday, Joe. I'm just going to be honest with you. Well, he's got the game for this place, right? It's perfect for him. Place that long irons are going to matter. And, yeah, he wins this week, my opinion. Yeah.
Makes sense. I mean, we see him just pop up randomly, man, and win golf tournaments. So, yeah. You know, he's a Florida guy, very comfortable on Bermuda. I mean, if you're going to play him, this is the setting that you want him in Florida, on Bermuda, in a weak field. So, yeah, man, I'm not a Billy guy, you know that, but I could definitely see it. I mean, it makes a lot of sense just from a narrative perspective.
So where's your dart play? What's your dart play of the week this week?
I'm going with the kid, man. I'm going Pearson Cootey as my dart of the week. Like I said, I think it's he's a player that's going to make a big splash, you know, kind of as soon as he gets some PGA Tour starts under his belt. You know, where a lot of people are going to know who this kid is. So, 6,800 in this field, going with the talent. Pearson Cootey's my dart. Let me hear yours, man. I can't wait to hear.
Okay. This player almost has double the strokes gained statistics versus an easier average golf course versus a difficult course. So he doubles his stroke gain by round on difficult golf courses. Check number one. He's not a great putter. He is a less worse putter on Bermuda greens. How's that? He's terrible on bent. He's pretty bad on POA. And he's kind of bad on Bermuda. You still following?
I like it. I'm locking it.
Last five events, negative 6 strokes gained putting, positive 0.3 strokes gained putting, negative 0.2 strokes gained putting, negative 5.7 strokes gained putting, negative 4.8 strokes gained putting. The 0.3 positive was on Bermuda greens, Joe. In the Phoenix Open, he was plus 7.7 strokes tee to green, plus 4.4 on approach. That's a little over a shot a day. This guy does not make bogeys on par fours. Jason Duffner finishes top 10 this week, Joe. Mark it down.
Ooh.
Easy. I like it. Easy top 10.
Wow.
Shoots one under top 10.
AP's going in the bag this week. I love it. Love it.
Yeah,
we've had a Duff Daddy Dart call and a Patty Harrington call out.
Let's just see.
Welcome to the Honda Classic, folks.
Yeah, let me just pull up the number here on that top 10. What that's going to get you? Oh, Sudafed is kicking in, Joe. Sudafed's kicking in.
Are we sure it's just Sudafed?
Not, well, maybe, possibly other things. Ibuprofen. Okay, top 10, Duffner. Whew, 16 to 1. Lock it up. Kids are going to Ivy League school, baby. Lock it up. 16 to 1.
I'm throwing a 20 ball on it just because.
Just because you hate to miss out and listen to me tackle.
Yep. It'd be a fun sweat.
Yep. Literally doesn't hit it in the water. If he does not hit it, if he can break even on putting, he finishes top 10 in this event. Come on. So, yeah.
I'm in. You sold me. All right. This has been an AP deep dive, and I'm here for it. I love it. I love the research. You got me, man. You got my money. Jason Duffner. $20 off bet.
That's Joe, appreciate it. That's Joe Nicely. I'm Andrew Putters. You all listen to the Turner Fantasy Golf Fantasy or still you've listened to the Turner Golf Podcast brought to you by rotoballer.com, best place in your fantasy needs. If you're looking into premium stuff, man, give us a check over at rotoballer.com. Use the promo code Turn, save a little bit on your money there. You will not regret it. Joe, appreciate you. Let's go see the Honda.
All right, brother. Thanks, AP. Already hit three in the lake. It's gonna drive.